Welcome to Hype, episode 139. I forgot how to say numbers. My name is Selena, and I am back with Pam and Merima this week for another exciting show in which we all have our voices. Helps when you're podcasting.
It's just going to be silent, and we're going to have everybody fill in the blanks. Like, what did you think we said?
Oh, that would be a fun game. That would be a fun game.
Yeah. They would. I feel like our listeners know us.
You guys know
us. I feel like they did. That's what I had to resort to for my Patreon video of this week. A little Patreon plug here. We do weekly videos for you guys, and it was my week, and I had lost my voice. As you will hear if you listen to our The 100 special for season 3, which also went up this week. So I had to improvise, and it was a lot of fun. So it can be done, but maybe not with an audio podcast. Mm-hmm. Thanks. and also just off of that, as I said, The 100 season 3 special has been released at last. It almost didn't happen at all. We've been trying for months, but we finally made it happen. So if you haven't listened to that, make sure to check that out on hypeable.com, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes and never miss an episode. We highly recommend that you do this. You can find us on Twitter at hypeablehype. You can find us on Hypeable, which is hypable.com. You can send us an email, hype@hypeable.com. And you can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And if you are interested in learning more about our Patreon, then you can find that on patreon.com/hypepodcast. Okay, so let's get into the show. As always, we open with How We Hype, where we tell you what we've been doing in fandom this past week. Merima, what have you been doing? Because you're the only one who's out of the club.
Apparently the only one in the world. Yeah, so Beauty and the Beast is not out here yet. There are a few screenings, and I miss them all for various reasons, so I've just been suffering. Although, side note, I listened to the whole Beauty and the Beast soundtrack, and like, I am completely unenthused about this movie, although I know you guys are about to dissuade me from that. So instead, what I have done this week is watch a lot of Project Runway, but specifically Project Runway Season 7 and Season 8, which aired in 2010. These are the only seasons that are on Australian Netflix. So I used to watch Project Runway when I was little, and I was sick last week. And so I had a day, and I, for some reason, Project Runway was trending on Netflix. And so I thought, oh, that's fun. And then as I started watching, I realized, like, this looks quite old. And then checked the year, and yes, it had come out in 2010. But luckily for me, because it is so not relevant, I was not spoiled. So I had a Project Runway viewing party for the season 7 finale. I watched 2 seasons in 1 week. So shout out to Project Runway, my new TV fave. I'm going to go back and watch the newer seasons. I hear Michael Kors has been replaced as judge, which I am very grateful for. And I just need to, 7 years after the fact, share my outrage over the season 8 winner, which, like, I have been told the betrayal never leaves you. And I feel that that will be true, because I just cannot believe that Gretchen won. Like, that's just outrageous. Her collection was so boring. And I'm very mad at Michael and Nina. And if you're a Project Runway fan, you'll appreciate all of that. And if you're not, I apologize. But maybe there are weird seasons of Project Runway on your Netflix. So check it out.
I'm totally lost right now.
Let's talk about Disney shows. It's a great show. Okay, anyway. Yeah. Some movie came out this week, I guess.
Some movie about some beauty and some beast. I don't know what's happening with that. Yes, of course, Disney's Beauty and the Beast got released. That's not the biggest Disney news we have to talk about this week, by the way, but we'll get there. So me and Pam have both seen it, and we thought, of course, we wanted to do like a little mini special, but since Merima's, like, her country is so slow, for once it's not mine, so then we will just say our opinions here. And Pam, let's start with you. What did you think? Were you enchanted?
Honestly, I was a little enchanted.
I knew it.
I mean, I go into everything, this is not a secret to any of you listening, with cautious optimism, because I want to give things the benefit of the doubt. So my bar, like, for expectations and, like, was set very, very low for Beauty and the Beast. But at the end of the day, I feel like Bill Condon, who directed this, didn't really sell it very well in any of the interviews I read about him where he just said, he was like, I want it to be a retelling. I don't want to add anything, blah, 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 this, this, and that. And, like, to an extent, that's very true. There's a lot that, like, they did pull from the animated classic, but they did expand enough that I felt, like, satisfied because I was expecting, like, no expansion in this, like, fairy tale at all. So barring everything that we already said about, like, the singing, like I just felt, like, really swept up in certain moments, like, with Be Our Guest specifically. It was just really well done. And like, round of applause for the supporting cast, because I think that really makes, it really makes the movie, the supporting cast. And, like, Luke Evans as Gaston was, like, the best, but also the worst. And, yeah, it was just, like, it was a really fun time at the movies. I think that, yeah, it was just really fun.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't want to be negative. I'm trying not to be. Look, I really, my brother loved it. That's always my go-to. I was very entertained by this movie, but I think that I really took, speaking of the changes, I really took issue with the changes. I thought that they were extremely unnecessary. Like, when I watched Jungle Book, and maybe it's just because Beauty and the Beast, we know the story better than Jungle Book. Like, who knows Jungle Book by heart? Like, I don't know anyone who does that. But, like, the changes to Jungle Book made me feel like I was watching a brand new movie with the nostalgia of a Disney film. This made me felt like I was watching, like, three movies at once. Like, it pulled stuff from the original fairy tale, which was kind of neat. And then it just made up stuff that was, like, not really, because they tried, I think they tried, for me, in my opinion, they tried to stay too close to the Disney film while adding in new stuff. So it felt a bit like a patchwork, like it just jumped from old to new scene without any real, connection between them. And I thought the new songs, like, I didn't mind them. The only one that I really didn't like, and I know that at least one listener is going to take issue with this, but the Beast's solo song to me was, like, when he was on the tower and he was like, I will not be alone, or whatever the hell, like, she will return to me. Like, I don't even know. Oh, I didn't. Oh, my God. I was, like, falling out of my seat because I was cringing so much. I wanted to, like, crawl out of the cinema. But I just want to finish my, just to say that I did like it overall. I thought it was an enjoyable experience. I actually thought Emma Watson was really delightful in the role. And yeah, I mean, it was pretty harmless overall.
I wanted to
say, except for the new stuff.
Well, yeah, I can totally see where you're coming from. I think that, like, my, like, going into it, because my, like, my expectations were so low, I was like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Like, it could have been way worse. But I think at the end
it
of the day,
it could have been way worse.
At the end of the day, you're right. I think Jungle Book really set the bar very, very high. And I think that that's still my favorite live action adaptation. Like, who would have thought? Because it's all like CGI, basically, with animals. But it was just, Jungle Book was just so charming in a different way. That, yeah, I think that that's still the best. I will say, though, with regards to Evermore, I agree that it was, like, it's not, like, as memorable as some of the other songs.
I think it's
songs.
The lyrics. Well, like, but they were just, like, very simple rhymes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, really sort of, did they really come up with that for millions of dollars?
Well, what I was gonna say is that I'm actually kind of wondering, I don't know if you're familiar with the Broadway recording of Beauty and the Beast, like, from the Broadway play, but the musical has a Beast song called If I Can't Love Her, and I feel like Evermore was meant to be a bit of a replacement for that, and I'm not sure why that choice was made, other than the fact that maybe If I Can't Love Her deals a little bit too much with the idea of, like the Beast, like, literally giving up. He's like, if I can't love her, then, like, what's the point of living? Which is what Evermore basically was doing, but it didn't do it as effectively. Yeah. And I feel like If I Can't Love Her, like, really tugs at people's heartstrings. But
Yeah. If
Disney was trying to kind of go in a more, like, PC route and not really touch on the idea of, like, literally just, like, I'm giving up on life completely, then it would make sense as to why they, you know, Mengen made Evermore, which is essentially very similar. So people that have, like, listened to the Broadway recording will know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, I would just go back and and kind of listen to both tracks, like not necessarily from like a singing point of view, but like from a lyrical point of view, and kind of analyze those. So
okay, but there were two more things, small things I wanted to bring up about Beauty and the Beast, and I guess we'll revisit then when this one Merima has seen it. But first of all, the exclusively gay moment that they were hyping up so much doesn't exist. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Like the hot tub scene in Frozen was more exclusively gay than this. It was so dumb. Like after all that fuss and them saying that they had, you know, I feel like it's so dumb. Like you go from TV, which is so forward, and then you go to Disney and they have to make a big deal out of like a blink and you miss it moment that I didn't even notice until someone pointed it out to me. And then also Merima, when you go and see it, keep an ear out for the beard line. Because that might
Oh no, I've heard about this.
That was the only... Oh, you've heard about this. Oh, yeah, I wrote a whole article.
I've heard about everything. Like, I have not seen it, but I have a friend who actually did make it to one of the screenings that I missed. And like, I've heard everything about it. I was like, I don't care about spoilers. So
that, I think that was, I wanted to bring it up too, because it was like the only moment in the movie that I was moved to like genuine emotion, which sounds really dumb, but I was just like, I was watching it, like, you know how you're watching a movie and you're just like, yeah. And I was also really tired because I was already sick. And then that beard line came and I was like, what? Like I said out loud in the cinema, I was like, what just happened? That was so inappropriate. I thought it was hilarious. So that was the thing that happened. And anything else you want to say about Beauty and the Beast, Pam?
No, but I would be interested to hear what our listeners have to say. You don't have to liked it, by the way. Like, I feel like you were holding back a little bit, like you didn't want to.
No, but I did like it. Like, I did, but I liked it. I think I liked it because I like the animated movie.
That makes sense.
You know, like if I'd seen this for the first time, I would have been like, eh, it's kind of a mess. But because I love the animated one, I'm like, and that's why, maybe that's why I thought the new, like, parts were so superfluous, because the animated one is so good. Who knows?
But just to be totally clear, like, Emma Watson cannot sing. And, like,
no, I mean, like, that was...
I mean, I don't know if she can sing, because they hid her voice behind all that autotune.
Well, that says that probably no, because if she needed that much autotune, like, what was she doing in the cast? But, you know what? That's a separate question.
It's kind of funny, because, like, there are some moments, like, that you're just like, oh, it's not that bad. But I really just, I'm going back to this idea that she, it's not like she sounds bad, like normally, but I feel like she just didn't have time to do the training, and the voice is a muscle. Mm-hmm. And if you don't exercise that muscle, how can you expect to be able to sing even Alan Menken songs, which are not like full on soprano numbers? You know what I mean? Like, so I kind of just go back to that, and I don't know whose decision that was, but I really think, honestly, even though nothing's come out about it, that is what happened. Like, she did not have time.
I can't believe they didn't think, like, people would notice. Like, it's so egregious. It's so different from everyone else in the cast. Anyway, whatever. That's fine. Should we keep on Disney news?
Yes, it's time to move into the news.
All right, well, speaking of singing, no one will be making a man out of anyone in the new Mulan, because the worst news ever, ever for Mulan fans, ever the worst news. Apparently there's not going to be any songs in the Disney live action remake. So we've talked about them making changes and making them different. I don't think this is what any of us meant. But, you know, here we go. There's been a little bit of news about Mulan in the last week. None of it good, I don't think. I think we can sum it up like that. So director Nicky Caro has said that apparently, currently, there are no plans for any songs in the movie. Has also described the movie as a, quote, big, girly martial arts epic, unquote. And also, apparently, the beautiful and objectively best love interest in any Disney movie, General Li Shang, is no longer the love interest in Mulan, and instead is some dude who has a rivalry with Mulan. Discuss.
Where to begin?
Well, let's start with the music, I guess.
yeah, I am... I wrote up the article about this. I know that Danya's prepping a big longer rant piece about all of this mess, but I think for me, it just, if they aren't, I mean, obviously the story of Mulan, I kind of get what they're going for. Maybe they're trying to make it a bit more serious, but I'm just like, if you're going to make a serious Mulan movie, like that already exists. There is already a Mulan movie, a Chinese produced that's really good. And there's going to be another Mulan movie. And like, the Disney songs, I mean, the story is good, but Disney, the songs are what makes this particular version of that tale great. What the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it is particularly weird given, like, we know there is another one in the works at Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, they can't do the music. They don't have the rights to it. So why would they cut? Also, Mulan has some of the best songs in all of the Disney movies. Like, why would they cut them from this particular... And I'm just furious about this because I just listened to the Beauty and the Beast soundtrack. I'm like, you're kidding me? We had this, but we won't have Mulan? Like, this is outrageous.
Yeah. I'm so on the fence about this, honestly. Like, I would love to see those songs get brought to life. And, like, you guys all, you bring up a good point about the fact that, like, there's already another in the works that won't be a musical anyway. But I was talking to some other people and they don't seem to mind this, like, specifically some of my friends that are of, like, Asian descent. Their main concern with the Disney adaptation was that it would be too whimsical and too rooted in this idea of a fairy tale when, in fact, it's not, you know? So for them, like, the idea of, like, representation like this would maybe come across better if it was more serious. Yeah. So it's
totally
really hard. It's a double-edged
point.
Sword for me. You know, because mm-hmm. I don't really know how to feel about it. And I'm like, but who am I to,
no,
like,
yeah.
you know.
I totally, that's a totally, totally fair point. I do think it's a bit of a shame that because it's an Asian, rooted in Asia, they shouldn't have songs.
Yeah,
like,
I don't.
That should take the, to me, that feels like a bit of a limitation. But I mean, I'm not the authority on this at all. I'm just sharing my opinion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, there's it's not like, I guess there's no real right or wrong way to go about it.
I mean, I think this is wrong. This is the wrong way.
Yeah, but like, for example, like, I don't know enough about the Asian culture to say, like, oh, they're like this, I find this and this and this offensive, like, or somebody could find this and this offensive in the animated version, you know what I mean? So like, mm-hmm. how you, I don't know, I think I take more offense with the idea of like girly kung fu stuff, you know what I mean?
You know what I really take offense of is if you read, because the casting synopsis or the casting descriptions for Mulan and Ching, whoever this guy is who isn't Li Shang, have been released.
Isn't
and,
Ching in the movie though? Isn't there a Ching in the movie? Like,
I don't know.
Friends.
It's not Li Shang. But
yeah,
the
I know.
Point is
like, yeah,
that, that Mulan, if you read it, she is Chinese, lithe, athletic, quick, tougher than she looks. And there is a mysterious power inside of her, a power of speed and coordination and sheer force. So, in other words, she's a vampire slayer. And, like, this sounds like this movie is basically dispelling with the idea that Mulan is great just because she's great, like, because she's a woman, they have to give her some special powers so that she can beat the men. Like, that to me is, like, the worst of all of this.
Yeah.
Like, what the
I
hell?
I hadn't even
that,
seen
that
script. I just got mad about the lack of Li Shang and was like, okay, bye. Yeah, what? Also,
I'm like, why do they need to give her special powers?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's their way of incorporating the ancestors in, but the ancestors never gave her powers.
But
they just, like, you know,
no.
looked after her.
Look,
like, everybody
I'm
kind
gonna,
of.
I'm just going to put it out here. Nothing about this movie is making me excited. Like, I'm disappointed in every aspect that we have heard of Mulan, aside from it existing. Like, we were all so excited.
Yeah.
Remember when they were like, we're doing live-action Mulan? We were like, this is what we need. We don't need another Cinderella. Like, we don't need 8,000 Sleeping Beauty spin-offs. Like, we need Mulan. We need Princess and the Frog. Like, this is what people want to see. And it's like, I mean, Pam, I completely understand what you were saying. And obviously, like, you know, it's, I don't know. I have no idea. But, like, it just seems such a shame because people are so attached to this particular version of Mulan. And like Selena said, like there is a proper series like Mulan drama that exists. I imagine the Sony one is going to be like relatively rooted in reality because they kind of don't have the option like of doing this. But the Disney version, yeah, it is kind of a fairy tale because Disney movies are fairy tales, but it's a fairy tale that at the heart of it has a really strong Chinese woman that has like that treats her like both better and the same as all of the white princesses that we've had, right? Like it's her story and she's allowed the fairy tale as much as they all are in their movies, while also like allowing her to kind of overcome like traditional gender norms of that we often see in these Disney movies. And I just think it's such a shame that like this particular movie is the one that they're like, oh, let's cut out all these things that people love.
Yeah,
Let's cut out this
right,
character that
exactly.
everyone loves. Let's make Mulan have magic
A
powers, like
superhero, yeah.
whatever. And all under the guise of like, oh, it's gonna be like this huge action movie. I mean, Mulan has action stuff in it, but that's not why people are into it. Like,
Yeah,
people
like
don't
it's
want to
not
see
Wonder Woman,
it's
you know?
like people don't want to watch a just a martial arts movie. Like, that's not why people connect with Mulan. Obviously, there is an aspect of that, but that's not the movie. Like, that's not the heart of it. And it just feels like the director, in talking about this, I mean, first of all, there's no plans to have songs. Like, okay, surely you should have made this decision. But also, they just don't seem to have any understanding of the different things that people love about Mulan and like why people really connect with this movie and why it's so important to so many people. So it's just, I don't know. It's very perplexing to me, just in general.
Okay, moving on to the next news story. Also in WTF news, although I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens, Warner Brothers has announced that the Matrix series is getting a reboot. Oh my God, how weird is that? I guess everything is getting a reboot, so we really shouldn't be surprised. I know people were a lot of like there was a lot of outrage when it was first announced, of course, as there always is. The one thing that sort of is interesting to me is that it's not set to be a remake, it's set to be a reboot. So perhaps we'll get an all-female Matrix reboot and people will hate on it. Or maybe not. Who knows? Do you guys have any thoughts on this? Are you particularly attached to Matrix?
I have never seen The Matrix, any of them. I tweeted about this and I got a lot of responses.
I think mine is actually worse. I have seen The Matrix and have no memory of it. Like I just don't, I know like there's Neo and there's like the bullet thing and there's the computer code and people are gonna yell at me, but like I just can't remember it. I was really young when these movies came out, when the first movie came out. Let me see. When did The Matrix come out? Have you seen it, Selena? Do you have strong opinions on this?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's
I was only
99.
8 when The Matrix came out, so like, give me a break, guys. I don't remember that. That's whatever. I was too busy watching Beauty and the Beast, obviously, and Mulan. Is it the
Obviously.
same? Is it the what are they called? The siblings? Is it the same people
not
doing it?
Russos, the other ones. No,
Yeah, the oh, starts with
the
W. What is the name?
non-Russos.
Yeah.
Wiskowskis? That's not right.
Oh my God, we've all lost our minds.
What is it? It's
The
something like that.
Wachowskis,
Ah, Wachowskis, that's the one. Yeah,
yeah.
no. It's
Oh.
they're not gonna be involved. And I think that's actually what people are the most angry about, because even though they've made some really weird stuff like Jupiter Ascending since, like
Oh, that
they like
movie's
the
a
Matrix
masterpiece,
is
though.
super well, that movie, not that one, The Matrix is like super iconic and such a staple. It's like if they remade like Men in Black or something, you know? It's like why would you do
Oh yeah,
that?
I
Why would you
understand
mess
the
with a
outrage.
masterpiece?
I get the frustration. I can't share in this particular outrage, but like in
No.
solidarity, I will be outraged with those people. There we go.
I'm like, I don't know about you guys. I'm like running out of outrage for like these remakes. Like they're just gonna happen. And
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even like whatever. You
I'm
know,
waiting to be
when they announce Lord of the Rings, I'm gonna be really pissed off. So I'm like saving my outrage for that.
That's true. But remember, but what about when they announce Harry Potter? We'll be dancing in the streets.
We'll be so happy.
Really? I'll be scared because
I'd be so excited.
It could be way worse.
So excited. Oh, it could not be worse. It's already ruined for Selena and I. It's like only up from here.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe you guys can't find one thing to like about this movie.
I'm sure I can find one thing, but like that's not the point.
I can find I can find something. I'll report back next week. I'll have to think about it. It'll be my homework.
She's gonna have 10 days to figure it out, you guys.
I really like McGonagall in the movie.
Oh, I love McGonagall. I love Maggie Smith. Perfect. Maggie Smith is perfect. Also, Emma Thompson is great. She is really great.
For the bit she was in it until she decided she didn't want to be in it.
Yeah, until she was like, I'm going to do my own franchise. Anyway, this is the Matrix is happening.
Anyway, yes. Well, that's it. That's all I had.
Well, should we move on to my favorite news story of the week?
Yes.
You guys, the Coco trailer came out. This is Disney Pixar's new movie, and I have a lot of questions, but I'm also really happy with it. It makes me feel all the things because... It's just I have so much hope for this movie. I'm trying to set the bar like way lower than it is right now. But the teaser is really, really beautiful. Like, first of all, the animation is stunning, which like no surprise, but I think a lot of people were saying that it's very similar to The Book of Life, which came out a few years ago. And like, and I get it, it is, because like that also deals with the Day of the Dead, but I think the thing that I really like about Coco is that, like, you can already kind of tell it's a little bit different just in the way that, like, the idea of Dia de los Muertos is presented. Like, you have this young main character, Miguel, who is, like, literally celebrating Day of the Dead versus the Book of Life, which kind of just happened to take place around the Day of the Dead. And so that really meant a lot to me to kind of see that represented already. And it just looks really sweet. It's just a small little teaser, but I'm really excited for this movie to come out on November 22nd, and I really hope that all of the research that Disney and Pixar have been doing to make sure that this is a good representation of the Mexican culture pays off, because I have high hopes for it. And yeah, the trailer just made me feel really like warm and fuzzy. I don't know.
It's really sweet. I really like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, we have to wait and see if Pam likes it, because I know you were so excited, so I didn't want to, like, commit an opinion, but now I'm glad I can say that I really liked it.
Yeah. I would like, for example, the Ernesto de la Cruz, who is voiced by Benjamin Bratt, he's, like, this, like, famed singer. Like, it looks like they pulled a lot from, like, Pedro Infante, who is another very famous singer. From Mexico, he used to do a lot of these older movies and stuff like that. So, like, I have, like, a lot of the questions I have are more, like, technical, like, where'd you draw inspiration? Like, I really just need to interview somebody from this project, because I have so many questions. But, yeah, I mean, like, it's hard to form an opinion, but I just think, like, right away, like, it just, as somebody who is of this culture and who has, like, celebrated Dia de los Muertos with my grandparents and things like that, it just meant a lot to see that already represented. And that's, like, a big step away from what the Book of Life did. And I liked the Book of Life. I thought it was really fun, but it didn't really show the meaning behind the holiday. So I'm kind of like wondering what else they've got, but so far so good, basically.
Yay. I mean, there's no reason to think it won't be good, right? Like, I know you're setting your expectations lower, but like Pixar, Disney basically do a good job. So
am I forgetting a
travesty they've committed? I genuinely could be, I don't know.
No, this is just way different because I'm too attached to the idea of this. Like, that's the only thing. And I know that like other people have like their things like that too. This is just mine. It's hard not to relate, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah,
it makes sense.
It's good. And if you want to check out the trailer, it's up on Hypeable, and the movie comes out November 22nd.
Woo! Okay, this is a total non-news story, but I basically just wanted to remind everyone that the Kingsman sequel still exists. So, reminder, it still exists. And, whatever, I guess. American audiences can be excited because they will be getting it a week earlier, September 29th instead of October 6th, so it'll time with the UK release. It was meant to come out in June, but you know, whatever, we'll take it. And yeah, Kingsman: The Golden Circle. We are very excited. I was weirdly into this movie when I saw it, the first one. I don't know if you guys shared that. I thought it was so good.
I loved this movie.
Yeah.
But this
so
is
I'm
like
very excited for the sequel.
You and me movie.
So
you
true.
Know, it's very like Man from Uncle, but not.
Yes.
James
yes.
Bond, but not. So.
So true. So true. So yeah, that's still coming out. And, you know, the wait has been a while since the first one. So. Very exciting. I'm sure we'll have more to say on that as we get closer and like get a trailer and etc.
Okay, so our next story is super random. I thought this was hilarious because I knew that was happening, but I'd forgotten. I'm of course talking about everyone's favorite movie, the Spider-Man spin-off Venom.
I thought they canceled this.
I don't even know which Spider-Man this is a spin-off of. It could be any three of them. I wouldn't know. I'm guessing it's the new one that hasn't come out yet, which makes this even more confusing. It's been in and out of like existence for a while. This Venom movie that's coming for Sony, but now it is back on the table and is apparently setting a release date of 2018, October 2018. So the Spider-Man movie is obviously coming out this year. So that probably will tie into it somehow. Scott Rosenberg and Jeff Pinkner, the latter of who was, of course, one of the showrunners of Fringe, a really good show that I don't talk a lot enough about, but I do love it. They've done a script for it and kind of redone the Dante Harper version. And Pinkner also worked on Amazing Spider-Man 2, so
which everyone liked.
Of tie over there. Yeah. Which one was that again?
The one that no one saw.
Oh, yeah. What was it? Which of the Spider-Man was it?
Andrew Garfield.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
God.
He was he was amazing. And
he was amazing.
Tobey Maguire was just Spider-Man.
Oh, yes. Oh, God. But so anyway, it'll be interesting, obviously, because Venom is a villain, and we don't really get a lot of villain movies. Like, the most recent one was Suicide Squad, and we all know how that turned out, so...
Really, really
fun.
Well.
It'll be fun if they... It really, really well. It won an Oscar.
Oh, my God, don't remind me. I'll get PTSD.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, yeah, so that should be fun because, I mean, villain movies isn't, as I said, something that happens a lot, and I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Tentatively. No pun intended. Oh, no, that's a different villain. Never mind.
Well,
someone
you thought,
carry on.
You thought that you had the most random news story of the week, but I feel like this one's got yours trumped. Robert Downey Jr. has lined up his next project, and surprise, guys, he's going to be Dr. Doolittle.
Of course.
In the Dr. Doolittle reboot. I'm sorry, it's not, I mean, it's kind of funny, but also, like, I
it's
just...
It's also terrible.
Sometimes I wish I was in the room... where these decisions get
made,
because I would like to know, like, what idea was more terrible than deciding they need to reboot Dr. Doolittle, which I'm pretty sure everybody forgot about.
With Robert Downey Jr.
With Robert Downey Jr.
I mean, okay. This is obviously awful because it's whitewashing. Like, we're not laughing at that, just at the absurdity of this entire thing.
Okay, it's time to get serious, you guys. Let me tell you about this story and then we can dissect. So, yeah. Basically, the new film starring Robert Downey Jr. is going to be called The Voyage of Dr. Doolittle, and it's based on, of course, the character Dr. Doolittle from the 1920 series of children's books by Hugh Lofting. And Stephen Gaghan? Who directed Gold, will be directing this film from a script that he also wrote. So this is going to be our third version of Dr. Doolittle. Of course, there was an original version that starred Rex Harrison in the 1960s, and then most recently, probably the one that we remember from all of our childhoods was the version that came out in the late 90s starring Eddie Murphy. I think he made about like three or four of those, if I remember correctly. So... That's what Robert Downey Jr. is going to be heading on into after Iron Man has wrapped. And that's basically it. So I will open the floor.
I mean, I'm pro anything that stops Robert Downey Jr. being like, what if we do another Iron Man movie, though? So if this takes up his time, like, great. Everyone needs a hobby. And I don't need him in any more of my Marvel movies. So, like, that's fine. But this particular project, why? Why, guys?
There is no good answer to that question. It's so funny. I'm glad we included this in hype. Like, we're all kind of flabbergasted, but, like, what the hell? We keep you guys informed.
Sorry for everybody who loves Dr. Doolittle and is really excited about this.
I mean, are they? If you liked the Eddie Murphy movie, are you excited for a reboot with Robert Downey Jr.? Genuinely, well, like, I would like to know. Where is that Venn diagram of people? Pam, you go and see everything. Like, that's not a good measure.
I know. That's why I'm not a good barometer. Sometimes you just need some mindless stuff to take over your brain for a while so you don't have to think about more important things, okay? Okay.
Yeah, this is true. Meanwhile, I did not know that there was a Rex Harrison version. That I am intrigued about. Okay, moving on to something I think we can all get excited about, speak about mindless. There was a Love Actually trailer, and I guess they heard about Selena's hype Patreon video because they totally stole her idea, although I think this came out first. And basically, it's just Andrew Lincoln with his weird creeper signs announcing that it exists and that, you know, we're going to see it on 24th of March for Red Nose Day. And that's basically it. But I got very excited when I saw that, like, you know, again, it's just confirmation that it's happening, even though we knew it was happening. It's always nice for this. And I guess there was kind of no other way that they could have announced this. And also, like, cheapest trailer ever shot, I think. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, it was cute. This is, I'm really not expecting great things from this because it is like a charity little reunion thing, you know? Totally. And I thought it was really good. I really liked it.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, it's going to be really like short.
My video was better, but...
they can't make a trailer from it. Like, we'll see the whole thing.
It's going to be super short.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about this, too, is, like, clearly Andrew Lincoln is still, like, in Walking Dead mode because he just looks like Rick from The Walking Dead. Which is, like, the best. It just makes it even better. I love Andrew Lincoln. I love The Walking Dead. I love Love Actually. This is, like, yes.
Everything he's obviously just, like, in the, like, what is it, like, 15 years or something since Love Actually happened, he's, like, gone off to, like, be a hermit and is still, like, recovering from the rejection. And if that movie...
You know what I'm, like...
I was going to say, if the resolution in Red Nose Day actually is not just the three of them living in, like, a polyamorous relationship, like, I'm done with everything.
No, I was going to say, because I don't think the husband is in it. Like, I don't remember the husband's name, David or something. It's not David. But no, I don't think he's going to be in it. So I literally, like, I'm like, aren't they going to end up together? Because I never really liked them together. Because he was kind of a stalker.
Oh. Yeah, but also how sad the, for her. Peter was, like, her actual...
husband was Chiwetel Ejiofor.
I mean, like, he was again, and their relationship was so cute.
I'm going to state this. I think I've said this on Hype before, but, like, Andrew Lincoln is great, but literally who in the world would choose him over Chiwetel Ejiofor? Like, one of the most beautiful men to walk planet Earth. Just why?
Well, we'll see. When does this comes out really soon, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like later this week.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
So it'll be, I mean, they do like the show, so I guess it'll be up this weekend. It'll be online like straight away, I would imagine.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, we will keep you guys
deep breaths. I'm wait sure for the hype special.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so let's move on to something that I also am super, super, super stoked about. The American Gods adaptation miniseries starring Ricky Whittle of The 100 fame is coming to Stars very soon, April 30th to be exact, and there's a new trailer out that is just, it's just as spectacular as you want it to be. Like, everything I've seen from this miniseries, it's just the pages of the book on screen with Ricky Whittle. Like, that's it. And what more could you want in your life, ever? Like, it just looks so good. Have you guys seen this new trailer?
Yes, it looks amazing. It looks amazing. I did not realize this was coming out so soon. Kristen Chenoweth
was... I know! Yeah. I know! I'm so excited.
Like, I kind of wanted to do a reread of the book before, but now I think it's too close. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't want that to be book. In my head. Well, I also don't want it to be right in my head, like, before I watch it, because I feel like that's... can right, because you'll a good be
looking
thing.
For...
You'll be sort of indexing, like, the changes. But I think this looks amazing. I think, I mean, we talked a little bit about Ricky Whittle and kind of him moving to American Gods Are Now season 3 special of For the 100. But, like, this is just such a perfect role for him. And I'm just so excited for him. And everything about this looks so... it looks so beautiful, like, visually. I mean, casting aside and everything, it just looks like it's going to have that really epic feel to it while not losing any of the character things, and every single person in this looks fantastic. And I have no criticism. I'm dying over it, but yeah.
But like in a quiet way, like that's it. It just looks really good. Like the end, which is amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that so weird, but very exciting, obviously.
So we have one tiny little bit of news for you guys. Star Wars is coming to the Disney theme parks in a very big way. This will not be news to any of you big Disneyland and Disney World fans or Star Wars fans. So Star Wars Land is currently under construction at both of the theme parks. And if you have been, you might have noticed that there is some major construction going on. Specifically, some of the guests started taking, like, were able to take some pictures of the, I don't know, how do you guys pronounce this? There's, like, so much controversy around this. I say AT-ATs, but I guess some people say AT-ATs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, say what you say.
Okay. Okay, good.
AT-AT. That sounds weird.
Yeah. So if you head over to HighPeople.com, you can see a picture of some of these AT-ATs and, or AT-ATs, which is how... Merriman and I say it, so that must be the right way. And after kind of these pictures started leaking, Disney actually released a really cool video showing like the AT-ATs getting constructed and kind of like a little bit of a preview of what you can expect when these go up. And they look like they're going to be super cool. Looks like they're going to be animatronics, so you're going to be able to see them move when the lands eventually open at both of these theme parks. They also released a little bit of information as to two of the main attractions that you're going to be able to find at both of these Star Wars Land parks. The first attraction is going to be centered around the Millennium Falcon, where riders will they'll all go on a customized secret mission, and you know, it's probably going to be full of, like, awesome stuff, because the Star Tours ride they have there currently at Disneyland is pretty fun. So that's something you can look forward to. And then the other ride is going to put guests in the middle of a climactic battle between the First Order and the Resistance. So it sounds like they're really setting the tone for a completely immersive Star Wars experience to anybody who ends up visiting the theme parks. So it sounds like it's going to be really, really fun. Disney's really good about, like, these immersive lands, so I'm sure that they're going to be putting a lot of detail into both of these. And if you're interested in checking them out, you won't have too much longer to wait, because Star Wars Land will be opening in Disneyland and at Disney World's Hollywood Studios in 2019.
So are they going to move Star Tours?
You know what? That's a good question. I think Star Tours is going to stay there. No, you know what? They might be, because I think that they're going to turn that into Marvel. That's going to be in the new Marvel area, which makes sense, because I don't know if you remember when we went, but like all the Marvel stuff was over there. And then Star Wars Land is going to be like across the park, I think, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah. Cool. Okay, I love Star Tours. That's a great ride. Does this mean they're going to be casting, like, Han Solo and Leia and stuff?
One can only
hope.
They
must be. Yeah. And obviously, like, R2, etc. They'll be, like, little to take photos with. Exciting.
Yes, very exciting. Now moving on to TV show of the week, something you can watch even when you're nowhere near Disneyland. Yay! So, Pam, what have you got? Oh, I should probably explain before we get into our Patreon bonus segment this week is actually going to be about Riverdale, which both me and Pam have watched. So we're not going to talk about it in the regular news section, but we do have some other shows to talk about. Pam, what do you have?
So, Prison Break is coming back to Fox in April, and I got the first four episodes as part of some screeners that Fox was lovely enough to send over. So I sat down to watch those last week, and I really, really like them a lot. I think I've talked a little bit about Prison Break on here before. I really love Prison Break. Like, some of the, like, the later seasons, like, that was, like, it got a little, like, tedious and repetitive and stuff like that. But, like, the first season of Prison Break, even the second season of Prison Break, like, this show is so good. Michael Scofield is, like, probably one of my top 10 favorite, like, fictional characters ever. So that kind of gives you a pretty good indication of, like, how much I really enjoy this show. And the thing, I can't say too much about the screeners, which I know is going to annoy a lot of you, but there will be a more detailed review going up about these before the show hits Fox, if you're interested. So keep an eye out for that on Hypeable. But I will say that the thing that I really enjoyed about the four episodes that I did watch was that it really feels like you're coming back to the series in, like, all of the best ways. The pacing is there. The dialogue is there, and that's kind of what I was looking for coming back into, especially like a revival, because you want the characters to feel like they're still those characters, and everybody from like Michael to Link to Teabag, like to Sarah, like they all just like they sound like themselves, and so like the dialogue is just like really well done, and that's kind of like the one big thing that I was looking for, apart from like, you know, the mystery of how, like, spoilers, of course, because it's called Prison Break, like, how they're going to get people out of wherever. That's the thing that I was, like, most looking for, was, like, if the pacing and the dialogue still sounded like Prison Break, and it does. And so I was really, really happy about that. And, it's really, if you're a fan of Prison Break, you're really, really going to like this. I think also if you've never seen it, and obviously, like, there's not a lot of time to catch up, I would recommend that you watch, like, at least the first two seasons, because, like I said, it's just really good. But if you don't have time to do that, the first episode does a really good job of catching you up to speed. So you can totally jump into this, just, you know, to kind of be a part of the hype that's going to be surrounding this in a couple of weeks when it premieres the first week of April on Fox. So, yeah.
All right. Vera, what's your how? Yeah, I'm very excited about this one.
Oh, that's TV weird. I didn't know you were such a big fan of the Mindy Project.
I love the Mindy Project, actually.
I have two. Quickly, I caught up on the Mindy Project in the past couple weeks. I wanted to give a shout out to the most recent episode, although there'll probably be a new one out by the time this episode is up. But as we're recording, the most recent one was Mindy Lahiri is a White Man. And it's this super interesting episode that I would really encourage everyone to watch, even if they haven't watched the Mindy Project, because it kind of works as like a standalone episode. And basically what they do is they recast Mindy as a white man, as the title explains, played by Ryan Hansen, who you'll probably know as Dick from Veronica Mars. Cool. And it's kind of like a dream sort of, you know, they're experimenting with different sort of formats a little more this season. They did a Groundhog Day episode, and now they're doing this one sort of out of body thing. But it's basically, I just was not surprised, because the Mindy Project is always very interesting in terms of its politics anyway, but like they really just did not hold back at all in this just very explicit takedown of basically white male privilege. Mindy is going for a job, and like just it looks at the way that the different candidates are treated basically, and was really, really well done and was very, very funny. It has some of the funniest lines definitely that they've had in episodes for a while. So shout out to that, and just to the Mindy Project in general, because you know, I get behind, and then when I catch up, I'm like, why don't I watch this weekly? Because I love this show so much. And then I am up to date with The 100 season 4 as of last night when I started and finished six episodes. Oh my god.
Well, when you say up to date, what do you mean by that?
I mean, I've seen the...
How many episodes?
I've seen six. I'm up to... I haven't seen the what is it? What's the season 7 one called? Gimme Shelter? Is that
Gimme
one?
Gimme Shelter, yeah.
I haven't seen Gimme Shelter, but I've seen all the rest. So...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not as up to date as Selena.
Because you're really not supposed to.
Yeah.
I don't mind if you do. Just don't tell anyone.
No, obviously. Yes. So that's the thing that happened.
So what do you think?
Well, Pam hasn't seen any of it. What did I say? Look, I'm very into Octavia's hair this season. She has a great new hairstyle. Uh-huh. I can't believe that it's... I can't believe it's season 4 and, like, I still have to deal with Jasper.
Oh, my God.
No, look, the events of season 4, I'll just say this. The events of season 4 have not changed my opinion on Jasper in the slightest. In fact, they have probably intensified them. So there's that. And I am very intrigued in the kind of Abby-Raven storyline that's happened in the last, mm-hmm. like, couple episodes. I'm very into that. Very into Cabby just being a thing that is happening, and just Kane in general is a thing. I'm into Kane in this season. And
how about your new favorite character, Riley? I saw you tweeting about.
Oh my god, who is Riley? Like,
believe you haven't noticed him. He's been there the whole time.
Oh my god, I just
he's the dawn of the show.
I was like, I cannot look. I would say this: The 100 usually does a very good job of introducing new characters and sort of giving you enough
Riley.
Backstory to make you care about them and whatever. Not Riley.
Riley is the worst.
Yeah,
it's so weird. It's like the dumbest thing they've ever done. It's because not to spoil Pam, but it's because they apparently it was something about the actor who played Brian. Like, that was supposed to be his storyline, and he just couldn't do it, so they just got Riley. And it's, like, the most ridiculous, clunky piece of storytelling that I've ever seen. And, like, it's become a joke in the fandom because we all think it's so ridiculous.
Well, good. So I'm glad everyone's on board about that. At least there's something we can all unite behind, although I'm sure there are some Riley defenders out there. Look, I'm very intrigued in sort of the direction that it's going. There was some flashbacks that happened in the most recent episode that I did not like at all and very upset about. That I really didn't like, and I'm kind of surprised that they did that, actually. Like, I understand why, but I just think, wow, that was very bold of them to do.
Very graphic. Yeah.
Yeah, so there was that. And what else can I... I'm doing a good job, right? Pam, you don't know what I'm talking about. Am I doing well? I'm trying not to ruin it for you.
I just kind of stopped listening, honestly.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah. Just take your headphones out.
You know what
maybe.
I mean? Like, I'm just like...
Yeah.
I just started, like, clearing my desk and, like, I'll
yeah,
just hop
doing
back
your
and
nails.
You
like,
how did you know?
Yeah. No, I... Look, I'm very... obviously, I'm very invested. I literally watched six episodes of it yesterday. Yeah, because I was like, I have to know. I think Clark is making some not great decisions, and that's fine. But I kind of miss being able to root for Clark. And
yeah, same.
And so that's a shame. I think Bellamy made it one very, very bad. I mean, speaking of Riley, that was just a terrible decision.
Oh,
and
no, I thought it was a good decision. Nope. I was totally team Bellamy in that one. Yeah, I was.
Oh, wait. No, in the
in
I don't know
episode
which...
2.
Yes. Nope. Yeah. Oh God. No.
Definitely
not
on team Bellamy.
No,
I would have made the same choice.
I mean, once again, this is a thing where, like, just logically, this makes no sense because just go back. Like, let's just go back. So yeah, I was very into. Okay, I'm gonna spoil Pam slightly and say that the car chase was great. I'm very into the car chase.
Oh my god,
and,
it was my favorite part of the whole. Oh, and I'm so glad Rowan is there.
Yeah, I love Rowan. I am a fan of Rowan. I'm not sold on Echo yet, but I guess we'll see. And I'm kind of I'm mostly interested in sort of what's happening with Raven, and I'm very excited that we get to see Luna again. I love Luna, so all of that is great. I was very, very sad about that ha what
No
happened.
spoilers.
What happened? That was sad. And Murphy is also really good in this. I'm finding him very
I
interesting.
love Murphy.
I think I'm really like
Yeah.
Murphy. See, I think what they have done with Murphy has been what they have failed to do with Jasper, which is like take a character that you don't always agree with their choices, and they're often very frustrating, but like you can understand where they come from, and they're not like aggravating to you in terms of just watching them. And
That's
Jasper,
fair.
they have failed to do that as far as I'm concerned, but with Murphy, they've done it really well. So like I'm not always on board with Murphy, but I find him like consistently from season, definitely from sort of towards the end of season two. I found him really interesting as a character, and I'm always like intrigued to see what direction he's going in and what he wants to do next. And I find him very consistent. So, yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. But I'm very like excited, and it's halfway through, right? So, I'm curious to see what happens next with everything. And yeah, the end.
Cool. Awesome. I agree. Yeah, I think that's fair. I can't wait till Pam has seen it and then we can all talk about it. It's gonna be so much fun.
Yay!
As you guys if you guys are the 100 fans, then you might have listened to our season 3 special already, or you have that to look forward to. Lots of opinions going around there, and I love talking about the 100 with you guys because we all come at it with different points of view, and we're able to have some really good, important discussions about storytelling that I think, that I think the show facilitates for better or worse. So that's always super enjoyable. Moving on to listener feedback now. We're going to start with our Patreon question, which this week comes from Sarah Venz, who basically what this is for our patrons. If you donate $3 or more, you can ask a question that we will sort of go into a little bit more depth about on the podcast. So it can be anything you want, from a review of a specific thing to a question you have for us to something like non-specific fandom related thing you want to hear about. This one from Sarah Venz asks, how about you guys tell us what animated movie sequels you thought were better than the original? Is this where I admit that I've never seen a sequel to an animated movie?
Oh,
You've
there's
seen
some
Toy
really
Story
good
3.
ones.
Oh, that's true. I
I
forgot
that's
about
my
Toy
pick. You can't
Story.
have
Yeah,
it.
that's like
You
the
can't have
only
it.
one.
Oh, you know what?
I'll
My
take
pick will
Toy Story
be
2.
my pick will be in advance, The Incredibles 2, soon to be released. But
Good
I mean,
one.
no, it actually can't be better than the original. Yeah, look, they're the only ones that I've seen, and I know that there's like, Lion King 2 3/4 or whatever, and all these weird
But you
things,
know
but
what the
like, I never
problem
watched
is
those.
I never watched them because by the time they started coming out, I was like, quote unquote, too old. Like, they didn't come out in cinemas, and I was like, too old to watch them on VHS or like whatever the hell. And then I just never watched them, and I never really had any desire to watch them.
Yeah,
Oh,
same.
no, I'm lying. I'm lying. Speaking of Lion King, I have seen The Lion King starring Timon and Pumbaa, and I actually really love that one. So that's my
Yeah.
pick. I thought
Oh,
that was
you know what?
hilarious.
I really liked the Penguins of Madagascar movie. I think I wait, Pam, did I see
Okay.
that with you? Did we see that together on
Oh my
Thanksgiving?
God, we saw it on Thanksgiving when you had your first
Yes.
American Thanksgiving. Yeah, that was cute.
Yes. Oh,
Yeah,
that
and
was
Benedict
cute.
Cumberbatch was he was the
Was
voice in that.
the
It was great.
Yeah,
He was a
and it
polar
was
bear, right?
ironic because he can't say the word
Yeah.
penguin.
Yeah, he keeps the word penguin. Well, I have some other like actual like
Yeah, go
animated
Pam,
Disney
go.
ones that I
Actually
really
answer
like.
the question.
I really, really like. I don't know if it's better than the originals, but I really like Aladdin 2 and 3. I think that those are really, really good. They're like they're just really well done. You can skip
Oh.
Mulan 2. That's really bad. But Peter Pan 2 is also like a hidden gem. I think that that's like when they were still trying to create like proper stories and stuff like that. And yeah, so like those like what is it? One, two, like three are great. And also The Lion King 2 with Simba's, Scar's son. That one's good too.
Is that the one with Nala?
I think so. I just know that there's Like, I like, yeah, that like one. They like Nala and Simba's daughter and then Scar's son. That's a good yes. one. I think that that's what it is. Yeah, that's a
oh,
good one.
I've seen that one. I don't think it's better than the original, but I do really like that. Side note, this just reminded me when you said Aladdin. I forgot my Howie hype actually for this week because I saw the Aladdin musical, which was really good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which was, I saw it in Sydney, and the guy who
did
was
did it
playing,
have songs in it? No, I'm kidding.
The guy who played the genie came over from one of the American casts, and he was amazing. So, so good. And that is like, that. See, that is like the perfect way to do a sort of live action whatever, because they add in new songs, and the songs are good, and then they just make it this huge like spectacle, and it's like, it's so good. So, I don't know. I mean, this is like 1,000 years too late because Aladdin has been touring forever. But anyway, it finally came to Sydney, so I saw it and it was real good. That just reminded me. I have nothing to contribute to this sequels discussion though.
Okay, cool. So moving on to our other comments. Marima, do you want to take the one from hypeable.com?
Sure, we have a comment here from Marco.
I just saw which one it was.
Marco says, in response to the last episode, I guess, the way Selena talks about Buffy is how I wish rewatchable approach the show. Great discussion, girls. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish that too.
we'll leave that presented without comment.
Sorry, I just commented.
No comment on the comment. Moving
no
to Twitter.
Comment on the comments. Yay! Pam, do you want to take the first one? And sure. Marima, you guys can just go.
Sure. This one is for me, from Mark, who says, I had a similar reaction when I saw the track Home Extended Mix on the Beauty and the Beast soundtrack. Love that song. That's another really good one from the original Broadway recording.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tucker Conley says, I like the Vampire Diaries for finale, especially the Damon Carolyn friendship scenes. I wish Elena had spoken with Alaric. Jeremy, though. Exclamation. I don't know who any of those people are. I'm glad you liked it though.
Marie says, I'm so sad you're not liking Brooklyn Nine-Nine. This is for Selena.
Oh no.
But
exposed.
If you don't like season one, it's not gonna get different. I feel completely the other way from you. I really love the show and its characters a lot, but everyone has different tastes, I guess.
Oh my god, look, I need to defend Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I love that show.
But the thing is that I do like it because I'm still watching it. I'm just kind of, I don't know, go on, go defend it. I don't need to spread the negativity.
I think it's so funny. It's really, really well done. It's a great ensemble piece. I think that's what people don't appreciate about it. Like, it's not a thing where there are like standout characters that you really latch onto, but even more so than sort of Parks and Rec, it's really about the ensemble and the dynamics between the characters. And so the episodes that work best are when they're all thrown together. It also has some of the best just like non-issue diversity on TV right now. And aside from Andy Samberg, it's very notable that all of the white people in The Office, basically, like the white men in The Office, are super incompetent. They're like the old incompetent people. And it's like all of the like women and like African-American men and whoever who are just like running the show and who like know what's up, which seems very intentional. And it's just really clever. Like I basically always laugh out loud when watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And that only happens to me very rarely in like shows like Parks and Rec, and sometimes happens in Mindy. So yeah, I gotta defend Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's like literally one of the only shows I actually stay up to date with, and you guys know that that never happens. So yeah,
no, that's great.
Yeah,
that is great.
Yes. So I defended on Twitter, and now I have defended on the show. Shauna Evans says, "Oh, guys, I've forgotten how to say this guy's name again, and I apologize."
Owen Rion. I think
God.
It's Owen.
I think
okay.
it's Ewan.
I'm going to say it's Owen.
Thanks for the
Ewan?
Info about...
I think it's... Yeah. Never mind. It doesn't matter.
Owen Rion. Look, you know who we're talking about. The guy from Game of Thrones. Being cast for the Immortal series. Simon on Misfits is one of my favorite characters ever. Thank you. Oh, and she also says, thank you for your discussion of progress being progress. Sometimes liberals get so liberal, they forget this. Was that to you guys? Probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Laura says, this is to Marima, I was watching an episode of Legends of Tomorrow, and for some reason the historian guy reminds me how you would be if you were traveling through time about historical events. This historian is also super funny, and you are very funny and cool. Aww.
Spoiler, I wrote cool. this comment.
Cool book idea, Merim Adventure Through Time. And then she also tweeted, I had such a bad day at student teaching, but your podcast made me laugh. So thank you for that. That's really sweet.
Oh.
It's very sweet.
And one last tweet from the Lady Ash, who says, oh, I can't wait to join you on Patreon. Gotta get through this next month, and then I can. I'm simply excited for more and videos. It'll be good, weird to see your faces. I think that's a good description. And yeah, there is no way I am missing the DVD commentary. Yes, which will be coming soon. You guys need a vote on that. If you're supporting us on Patreon, thank you so much. And we reached our first goal, and so we're going to be recording a DVD commentary for a movie of your choice. We have a few suggestions. I think we're going to put a poll up. And then
we're going to put a poll up this
week.
So
if you guys
sometime.
Have suggestions, please send them in to us as soon as possible so we can include them on the poll.
Yes, yes, do that. You can tweet us or you can just write them on the post on Patreon. That would be great. And and thank you so much to everyone who's supporting us over there. We really appreciate it.
We really do. Okay, so we have two emails, one from Pam and one from Merima. Or four, not from. That would be funny.
I know. What if we wrote it ourselves? The show. Like,
I'm gonna do that one week and like write a really long email, and then no one will realize until they get to the end. It's like from Merima.
Well, here's the first one, which says, "Hi, I was indeed referring." Oh, this is from Sarah. We last week we got a tweet from Sarah, and she it took Selena and I like way too long to realize that TLM meant The Little Mermaid. So it's good that she emailed in to clarify. So Sarah writes, I was indeed referring to Little Mermaid with TLM. I wanted to save some characters. Wink. I was kind of confused while listening to you discuss it on the podcast. A couple of weeks ago, you said you liked a spin on the animated story in contrast to Beauty and the Beast, whose live action version mimics the animated version almost word for word. Now there's a movie with a big spin on the story and you were like, what? But maybe the spinoff is too big. Ha ha. Also, I had no idea this wasn't the Disney adaptation. I feel like a fool now. Selena, please keep giving Brooklyn Nine-Nine a chance. The way the colleagues interact, it just gets better and better. I, for one, am a huge fan of Jake. I bet I can't remember if I always was or if he just grew on me. Oh, and Selena, you will be proud to hear that I'm winning almost every battle we have at home on whose turn it is to play on the Switch. I have never in my life played a game for such long hours and with such passion as I am now playing with Zelda. I just can't stop playing it. Thanks again for a great show, girls. Hugs, Sarah. P.S. I hope you don't mind me stalking you girls almost every week. I just enjoy getting involved in the discussion every week. Sarah, you can stalk us anytime you want. Please keep contributing.
Yeah, can I just quickly say on the Little Mermaid thing, I mean, I'm not this looks like we said, like, this looks like a completely harmless, fun little teen movie. I think for me, like, I usually don't care, but the Little Mermaid kind of is a bit of a national treasure for us. Like, it's kind of the thing we're most famous for over here in Denmark, and so I just, this is a, the one thing is the Disney version, but this is just a complete bastardization. Like, it has nothing to do with the fairy tale. Like, they should, calling it The Little Mermaid and then doing that, just to me, it just really rubs me the wrong way. And I wish it didn't. Like, I try to be, not worried about that, but I am in this case. Like, it just really annoyed me. So I think that's part of my outrage, I think, came from that. Like, not that they're changing the story, just that if they're making a non-Disney version of The Little Mermaid, shouldn't it actually be The Little Mermaid? And otherwise, why are they calling it The Little Mermaid? I don't know. Stuff like that.
That sounds fair. Okay, we have one more email. This one comes from Mark, who says, on a recent episode, Pamela mentioned that the Star Wars books are in a way canon, but since 2014's A New Dawn, they are actually in every way canon. I really like that everything is connected, movies, TV, books, and comics. My absolute favorite
Star Wars...
Mm-hmm.
Carry on. I'll comment after, sorry.
Yeah? No, well, no. Please.
No, I just wanted to say, like, I just had a clarifying question, is that I thought that it, like, all the extended universe stuff was no longer canon.
Yeah, I don't think,
like,
it is anymore.
Now that the new movies are, like, all the extended universe stuff is not canon anymore. I think that some of the new books that have come out since are canon. Like, the ones that go behind the scenes on what's his face, Poe Dameron and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just wanted to, sorry, I interrupted.
No. I think that's right, because I remember, because I don't like engage with the extended universe stuff, but I remember that there was some outrage because it sort of basically was like, oh yeah, none of this is canon, and now we have like a new extended universe canon. So
I think it's kind of like with Pottermore, where Harry Potter fans pick and choose. Like, they're like, oh yeah, this is canon, but some people are like, no, this is not canon, I refuse.
Yeah.
You know? Like for a really long time.
I guess that's what you meant.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because like I was just speaking from experience, like for a really long time when I was younger, like that was the case, because like George Lucas opened it up and all of that stuff, but there was no more to be told. And I guess like it makes sense now that like it's not that way, because if there's more to be told, you need to put restraints on it. But anyway, let's get back to Mark's
email. Totally. Mark says, my absolute favorite Star Wars book is the YA novel Lost Stars by Claudia Gray, a love story between an Imperial officer and a rebel. Also from Claudia Gray is Bloodline, all about Leia, and is set 6 years before The Force Awakens. I also have to mention the Aftermath trilogy by Chuck Wendig. One of the characters introduced that series is now one of my all-time favorite Star Wars characters, Sinji Wrath Valus. Look, I'm sure I said that wrong. I'm going to apologize. A former loyalty officer who served the Empire and then joined the Rebellion after the Battle of Endor. He's sarcastic, he drinks a lot, and he's gay. And the great thing about his gayness is that it's no big deal. It's just really awesome character. Like half the internet, I hope the movies will go there with Poe Dameron, but until then, I'll have Sinji and other LGBT characters in Star Wars canon. Mark. Nice. That's some
book recs. Yeah. I know that Michal from High People is really into those books as well, and has recommended, especially, I'm especially interested in reading the Leia, the Bloodline one.
Yeah, I remember that was really well received.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a lot about that on Twitter, so...
Yeah. Anyway, that was the end of the listener feedback. Thank you so much to everyone who wrote in. Don't forget that if you have a comment for us, anything we talked about, anything you would like us to talk about, if you have any questions, you can email us hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Twitter @hypeablehype. You can find us on Hypeable, which is hypable.com. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. Instagram is hype. It's instagram.com/hypeablehype. Ah, crap, I messed it up. And of course, our Patreon can be found at patreon.com/hypeablehype. And that is where we have our bonus segment.
Hype Podcast.
Which this week is going to be... patreon.com/hypepodcast, which is where you will find our bonus segment for this week, which is going to be our discussion on Riverdale. You can find all of our videos. Yes, more or less serious videos that we do on
sometimes
there.
We talk in them.
Yeah, exactly. And you can find, you know, you can leave comments in there too, and you can leave us your listener questions, and you can soon vote in the poll for the DVD commentary that we will be doing. Very exciting. And finally, I would just like to ask, if you have not yet, please subscribe to us on iTunes. That is free and no problem, and just helps us rise a little bit in the rankings. If you want to give us a 5-star rating on there, that would help us out a lot. So if you have like 5 minutes, please consider doing that. Listen to our The 100 Season 3 special, and we will see you guys next week. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Arma. Bye.
Yay.
Bye, guys.